Welcome to the EU Startups Podcast. Sit back and enjoy the show hosted by Marcin Lewandowski.
Hey everyone, this is Marcin Lewandowski and you're listening to the EU Startups Podcast. My next guest is Wouter de Wiel, CEO and co-founder of Test Gorilla. Wouter, welcome to the show.
Hi Marcin, thank you for having me.
So Wouter, you're not just, you know, building a hiring platform, you're tearing up the resume, dropping degree requirements, and, you know, betting on skills first hiring to reshape how teams are built. Let's dig into why the old playbook is broken and what's replacing it. So why is traditional hiring failing us? And, you know, what's the opportunity on the other side?
Yeah, nice question. Yeah, traditional hiring is definitely failing us, right? So if you define traditional hiring as kind of a whole bunch of CVs that you receive from candidates typically around the world these days, it's incredibly hard, like, to find the best person, first of all, to make it kind of a fair process. How do you give everyone a fair chance? Like, you don't have a clue, like, what those brands or universities are, right, across the world. And you miss out on an incredible talent that way, right? So how most people do it is kind of in traditional hiring. It's like, just have a bunch of CVs. They look at pictures or terrible stuff, right? Or just like brand names they know, like, oh, Cambridge, that's nice. So you go through the interview phase. All the other ones, you don't. So it becomes like very, very biased. Like, humans are biased, and it's just very, very difficult to make it a fair, efficient, good process. So that CV-based traditional hiring, let's say, is definitely broken. And of course, these days with AI, it's worse, right? Imagine being a recruiter. It's just terrible. You get like tons and tons, like, quantities have really gone up, right, because of AI, because candidates are also using it. Tons and tons of CVs and cover letters that are all perfectly made with ChatGPT. So it's traditional hiring is not working, that's for sure.
Yeah, but so you've said, you know, most hiring filters out great talent before it even gets a shot, you know? So what do you think needs to change first to fix that?
Yeah, so the solution that we are building also and have built is around skills-based hiring, right? Yeah. So to not make it focused on CV-based hiring, but really try to assess skills as objectively and data-driven as possible, and really giving every candidate a chance, right? So with Test Gorilla, you can build an assessment, you can add different tests from our library. We have over 350 tests now, I think, and growing. So you add different tests, like, for example, a personality test, like a coding test if you're hiring a coder, some soft skills, like a mix of different tests that makes it much more predictive. We can talk about that a bit later if you want. And you send that to all your candidates, right? So you assess them on their skills. And then you log in as a guest customer, you see all your candidates ranked from the highest scoring to the lowest scoring one. And you focus your energy on people who can actually do the job, right? So it becomes way less biased, way more efficient, and also more fair, because everyone all of a sudden gets a fair chance, not only the perfect candidate on paper, right? The white guy from Harvard or something, like, to put an extreme. Right.
Amazing. Sounds awesome. Wouter, so, you know, like, CVs, cover letters, degree requirements. What's one filter you'd ban tomorrow if you could?
Nice candidates. I would say the degree requirements, right? That's the first one I would bin for sure. We had done that ourselves a long time. Actually, I don't even look at it anymore. It's been a long time that I've looked at someone's studies. Like, I started laughing almost because it feels so ancient to do this. Yeah. We do a big annual survey, not among our customers, but like a proper survey among employers in different geographies. And we see that, for example, in the US, where we have most of our customers, but also here in Europe, more than 50%, I think it's 57% in the US from the top of my head, employers don't look at degree requirements anymore. So it's like, it's not only us, it's like, it's very quickly kind of becoming almost an irrelevant filter, right? People realize, hey, degrees are often outdated. They're not in line with the skills we're looking for right now. Now imagine again with AI, how there's very few people that are taught AI skills, let's say. Yeah. And so they're missing out on great talent. So that's the first one I would ditch for sure.
Amazing. I love how it's changing. And that's just a great way to go. You know, Test Gorilla is, I know it's built on the idea that, you know, skills are more important than signals. What's the most underrated skill companies should be testing for right now?
Most underrated. That's the one thing we're seeing is, like, and again, with, like, in these days, like, in 25, things are changing so fast, with, especially through, because of AI, So real human skills, let's say, are becoming ever more important. So we see that because we have all these tests, right? These 350 tests that I talked about. So we see like just the stats, right? We see like which tests are going up, which are going down. So the ones that are going down are like the harder skills, let's say. So indeed, like programming or imagine translating or the data entry, stuff like that, that you can just automate. Yeah. Those are going down, the demand for those skills. But what's really going up and quite fast actually is real human skills, like for example, cognitive ability skills, like critical thinking or problem solving, or on the softer side, right? Like communication, leadership, planning, like all those kind of things that humans do, that those are becoming really, really relevant. And employers are recognizing, damn, we need those skills, right? Even if you use all the AI tools in the world, you still need this kind of a human to oversee those things. Yeah. And in fact, you could even argue those humans become ever more valuable, right? Because they have so much, they add so much value with the use of AI. So those human skills, that's really the one that are trending up very quickly.
That's awesome. And actually, let's talk soft skills, or as some call them, power skills. What traits are driving real performance in today's teams?
It's some of the things I mentioned. So it's like, I think around like being very smart, it sounds a bit strange, right? But like critical thinking, problem solving, hey, how can I deal with this, right? That's a big one. Being able to learn. It's also about just managing projects well, right? Managing people, communicating with them, training them, showing leadership skills, like having come up with the emotional intelligence there, right? So those kind of are, I think, really the ones that are very much on the rise. And that we also see, again, that state of skills-based hiring report that we publish every year. And we see those numbers like brown going up year over year. So I think it's like 70% or something of our employers are now looking for these soft skills to test them. And I also realized that they're doing a pretty bad job at it if you do it manual or human without any testing, right? If you just kind of do it based on your gut feel in an interview, that's not going to fly.
So what's the biggest mistake companies make when trying to assess human skills?
The biggest mistake employers make, I think gut feel. That's
the one.
Right. Yeah. And it's just trusting your intuition way too much. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've made so many hiring mistakes. I would be the first one to admit how bad I am at this. We do a lot of hiring ourselves also at Desk Gorilla, but just really hard to get that right, to remove your bias. Right. It's really nice. Like people that are kind of look like you or have a similar background, you connect better. Like you feel like, oh, these must be better candidates. It's not true. Just to take out that bias is incredibly hard to do it as a human. And the intentions are good, right? I'm not saying like they're racist or something, or not at all. Like it's just very hard to turn it off. Like
No. Yeah. We all have a bit, like it's natural, right? Wouter, speaking about challenges or mistakes, what is your biggest mistake or biggest fuck up so far? And what did you learn from it?
But I think as an entrepreneur, like I made a lot of hiring mistakes, especially on the leadership team level. So that's been my biggest learning so far. It's really hard to hire for like senior roles that you've never hired for before. At least it was very hard for us. That was one big learning, right? Just to really understand what you're looking for, what kind of person, what kind of skills therefore also you need to test. Mm. I think another mistake that people are making and that we see a lot is that when they use testing, they kind of zero in or they focus on one skill. So let's take the programmer, right? So you're like, okay, I need a programmer. Let's send them a Python test or a JavaScript or whatever, right? Great. Good to test those skills, obviously. But you're not going to say, oh, you have those coding skills. Bam, you're hired. You would never do that in an interview. You also want to look at, hey, do they have the brains, let's say, to learn the next coding version or language or whatever? Is it a good match with our culture? Will they be able to work in a team, right? Will they be able to lead the team? So you want to have like a very complete picture of a candidate, just like you basically want to do in an interview, right? You're also looking at all those different things before you come to a final judgment. And I think that's a big mistake that people make. They use testing for just a single thing. Let's only look at personality or only look at some hard skill coding. Whereas like the magic isn't really in making it multi-measure, as the academics say. So multi-measure testing, looking at those different things, that gives the best result. And then, and also our customers report that, right? So 91% or something who do this say they make quality hires that are way better than before. So like that's the big mistake or the big opportunity to properly use multi-measure testing.
Nice. Walter, you mentioned already a bit about AI. So AI is creeping into every part of hiring. Where do you think it adds real value, and where do we risk losing the plot?
Yeah, so we have been very careful with adopting AI, but things have changed very fast, right? So I think a year ago, like, there was too much hallucinations, and just you couldn't use it well in a high-stakes product like ours, like in recruitment, where you need to be able to explain how you come to conclusions, right? Where you need to put humans in the loop, et cetera, what has to be fair. But right now, that has changed. So I think what's really, really exciting now is an opportunity for in our industry, let's say, in hiring, is that you can use AI to make it much more fair for all your candidates and really find those hidden gems, right? Mm. So, and how you can do that is, like, the first thing is that you all of a sudden have the opportunity to assess everyone, right? So let's take the typical assessments that we do, right? The tests, you can send them to everyone, right? So not just in the interview, you only pick 5 candidates that you invite for an interview, but here you can assess everyone. So that's the first thing. Now, we're, for example, working on AI interviews, with very structured interview based on the best science and data that we have in our team. The opportunity is to give everyone an AI interview. So not only those 5 candidates out of 300 that applies, but everyone gets a fair chance. So that's a huge opportunity of AI, just that volume game. So really democratizing that opportunity to show your talent. And then the second thing is just less bias again, right? So if you have a very structured interview based on the best science and data that we have, it will be a lot better than a human interview. Will there be no bias? No, there will still be bias. We have done research on this, but it's just there's less bias than with humans. So it's not only less bias, but then all of a sudden, all your candidates get a chance to do it. So it's really exciting, and it's very much in line with our mission, which is to democratize opportunity for talent around the world. So that's where I get excited.
Amazing, amazing, Walter. So you work with some of the most forward-thinking companies. I was wondering, you already mentioned like all the best practices, kind of, but maybe let's go a bit deeper into that. So what are like the top two or top like 1-2 things skills first leaders are doing differently in the hiring process than others?
Yeah, interesting. So I think the things that I do well is like to really think about what skills am I looking for, right? Before even starting to look at a resume and the shiny logos and whatever. Mm-hmm. And the other thing that we briefly talked about is just that multi-measure approach, like that really holistic approach to testing and assessing people and being quite disciplined, right? So make sure that you test all those things, but also in your interviews and other steps in the process, apply that same logic. So with that really true skills-based hiring, as we call it. So not only in the first phase of testing everyone, and first doing that, by the way, before looking at the CV even, that's very important and shows big results, but also in the rest of your process, right? So once you, for example, at TestCorrect, once we have a shortlist, we interview them, but we use a structured interview. So like, hey, like, so give every candidate the same question. So you can actually compare, right? So it's very tempting just to have, oh, how are you doing? Like a very casual interview, blah, blah, it's going nowhere. And how do you compare candidates? It's very hard. So make it very structured. And then another magic tool, I think, that I am a big fan of is just take home assignments. So give people an actual piece of work, right? Ask them to spend a couple of hours on it. Make sure you have something that's not prompt in ChatGPT and you get the perfect answer, but like some real piece of work maybe that your team has been working on over the past few weeks. That's something I like to give. And that is magic also, right? So you have maybe 3 finalists or whatever, you give them that take home assignment. And just become so clear what work they would do for you if they would be your team. It's a brilliant skills-based hiring tool as well.
Nice. Sounds amazing. So Walter, when you see a hiring process that's truly working, what should it feel like for the candidate and for the hiring person?
Yeah, nice that you're thinking about both, right? I think that's so important. Yeah. So a lot of companies have become kind of cynical, right? With all these people applying, but it's so important. It's still humans, right? It's their career. So like offering a good human experience and fair experience with good communication, like to candidates is so important. So I think for candidates, they should feel respected and felt up to date and kept in the loop and be given a fair chance, even if they get rejected, right? Mm-hmm. And so the best one, sometimes we get emails from people who went through our process and they're like, they were not hiring. Like, they were like, hey, thank you for this process. It was great. Like, it was just, we did it well. Yeah. Sometimes we also messed up. We also mess up still. And on my side, like, I think, I love it when you find those hidden gems, right? You're like, oh my God, this person didn't look good on paper, but they aced the assessment. They did the interview really well. They took the take-home assignment, and it's just so much better than the standard. So I love that feeling of kind of discovering those hidden gems, and we've had a lot at our company. Nice. I think so that feeling is probably the best for me.
Sounds really good. Valter, maybe touching a bit again on the tech side of things. How do you balance, you know, being human first while still scaling hiring processes with tech? Is there like a magic line to cross?
I think that's a nice one. So that's a big challenge these days, right? So it's very mm-hmm. tempting to kind of use those all these tools that you now have, right? Yeah. There's so many, and every day there are more. But kind of there's a risk of dehumanizing the process, and I think that's mm-hmm. what you're referring to as well, right? So you just put people through.
Talking about this experience, like how it should feel, you know, for people, and then now, like, you know, tech comes in. So as you said, there's a risk of dehumanizing it.
Yeah, no, 100%. So I think we also strongly believe there should still be humans in the loop, right? Like, mm-hmm. so both in setting up the assessment that you have, right, mm-hmm. and how you and the evaluation criteria, for example, and then also when you do the evaluation. But also just in the communication with candidates, right, throughout the process, and of course in interviews, right. I think I would say definitely interview people for white collar roles. Like, you should have a proper interview, give them time, understand who they are. So it's I think the magic is in partnering with tech. Let's say so humans and tech partnering for the best process. But then you get really cool results. So you can you'll have a much better process than without tech, right? Like, if you imagine going back 40 years. Only having the humans, this is definitely better. You will get better results. Oh, people get better. More fair chance. Yeah,
100%, 100%. Valter, if you know TAS Gorilla reaches its full vision or potential, what does the hiring landscape look like in 10 years?
No, that's beautiful, I think. So our vision is 1 billion people in dream jobs. So that's mm-hmm. there you can see what the future will look like. I think it will be a beautiful future if we reach our full vision. Hiring will be done based on signal. On skills, and not on signals anymore, right? On noise. It will be a total opportunity revolution, right? So all of a sudden, everyone, doesn't matter where you're from, what your background is, if you're poor, rich, whatever, get a fair chance. So that will open up opportunities for millions around the world. So that will be very exciting. And I think people will be happier, like, frankly. Like, that's what we see also among our own customers that reported, among candidates. If you have a proper skills-based process, you get better matches. You get better matches between talent and jobs. And what does better matches mean? happier people, happier employers, happier employees. So I think it will be an exciting, very exciting future.
I love it. Can't wait. Valter, this is the time in on the show when I usually play a little game with my guests. It's kind of a rapid fire style game. Like, so I shoot quick questions on you. You give me quick answers. Are you up for it?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's go then. So resume in 2025, dead or barely briefing?
Oh, sorry, dirty briefing? Sorry, I missed the...
Dead or barely briefing? Like, is it still...
Barely briefing. It's still there. The resumes will still be there. Okay. Barely briefing.
Nice. Most overrated interview question?
Tell me about a challenge at work and how you how you dealt with it.
Nice. One treat you'd hire for every time?
A treat, a passion for what we're doing, passion for our mission and vision.
Nice. Hard skill you wish you had?
Being more organized.
Nice. I probably would need that one as well. One hiring hill you'll die on, it's metaphorically.
Probably still my gut feel. I've spent so many mistakes. And I try to be objective, but I just my instinct, my intuition is very strong.
But there is, you know, actually, because I had this. I have a lot of investors on the show, and I had this discussion about gut feeling with one of my friends from like the other day from the fund, and she said that there's actually a science to gut feel, that it's not just a gut feel, you know, that you, like it's a sum of different things in life, and I also believe in that because for me, for instance, to assess if this is a good founder to invest in. I would, and the gut feel that I have comes from I don't know, all the experience that I got, like living in 8 different countries, being exposed to different cultures, meeting a lot of people from like a lot of backgrounds and in life, and then like kind of building this thesis around it. And then like the gut feeling comes from this, right? It's like, it's not just like, oh, like it's like really, there's science to it.
I agree with that I think you can train that muscle a little bit, right? So with more experience, yeah, your feel gets better. But exactly. I worked at Bain, like a strategy consultant for a while, and they had this one thing, a mantra, kind of be open to the 1%. And that was very relevant. Yeah. Trust my gut feel so much. And sometimes you just hit you in the face, like, ooh, I was really wrong there. I should have looked at a bit more data and I would have paid a better judgment.
Yeah. 100%. Wouter, let's continue the game. One hiring trend you think is total bullshit?
Games. Putting games in the process. I think it's just there's very little.
Yeah.
Make research.
No gamifying the process?
No, it's hard. We've looked at it, but there's no real science to back that up. Like, so no.
Mm. Interview red flag you always catch.
I would say low energy. Like, I'm quite sensitive to the wrong or low energy or negative energy.
Okay. Yeah, I can see that, man. Like, you have a 2-month-old new baby and your energy is on another level. I love that. I love that because people would be like tired. Like, I don't know how well you sleep, because my daughter, when she was born, like, she was basically allergic to sleep for the first 2 years of her life. So we would like blinking became like little naps for me at some point, all day long. So, yes, but the energy still needs to be there, you know?
Yeah.
There's no excuses for low energy. I agree with you.
Yes.
And so now like the last two things that I want to ask you, it's going to be about finishing the sentence. So I'll give you two different sentences. You'll finish them for me. Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. So the best talent is usually?
The ones that might not look the best on the surface.
Nice. Yes. And a great hiring process is?
It's based on skills-based hiring from A to Z.
Amazing. I love it. Wouter, thank you so much for joining us today. Thank you for your time. I love it. I had so much fun in the conversation. I hope you also had a lot of fun. I think people will love it. So many insights coming from it. And I really can't wait to connect with you in person in Barcelona. It turned out we live in the same city, which is amazing. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you, Martin. This was fantastic.